All right. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back to the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, Aubrey Ebony, and this is episode 7. Now, I'm really excited about this episode, and I feel like I say I'm excited about every episode, right? but I get excited about my art, and I have the right to do that, right? I'm excited. Whatever. But today, I would like to introduce my podcast guest, not host, because I'm the host, my podcast guest, and I always get that mixed up, Brandon Michael Hall. Am I allowed to say your full name, or how do you prefer? It's full. Brandon, you want to say something? Mm-hmm. All right. Brandon Michael Hall, and I believe he is one of the stars of the show God Friended Me. And I think you just recently did something else. I don't know if you're allowed to say. Not allowed to say. Okay, no worries. Well, I want to introduce you, and I want you to just tell me a little bit about yourself.
Starting up where? Like, where I grew up? Like a little small...
Just tell me, yeah, just where you grew up. Like, who are you? Who is Brandon Michael Hall?
Who is Brandon Michael Hall? Mm-hmm. Brandon Michael Hall was born in Anderson, South Carolina.
Okay.
He is a... child of a sibling of two. Okay. Well, one, I'm sorry. He's children of two. But I have an older sister, Octavia, who's an opera singer.
Oh.
And my mom is still in the ministry. I attended the South Carolina Governor's School for the Arts and Humanities at one point, and I graduated from there. I went to Juilliard for 4 years, and I've been out of school for now 6. And been working ever since.
Okay. So that's cool. So your sister's an opera singer.
Mm.
That's badass. I'm sorry, I shouldn't curse. That's pretty awesome.
It's your podcast. You do what you want to do.
That's pretty awesome. And you said your mom's in ministry.
Mm.
Did that have any influence on the character you play in God Friended Me?
Big time.
Awesome. Okay. And you have another sibling you mentioned.
No, it's just me, not Tavia. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. So just two.
Yes, yeah, two of us. Okay. She's the oldest.
Got it. And you were born in North Carolina?
South.
South Carolina. Sorry, they're both the same thing, right?
No.
They're not the same thing. Mm-mm. Okay, my bad.
It's okay.
So what was growing up in North Carolina like? South Carolina. What was growing up in South Carolina like?
It was interesting. It was fun because, you know, I had all my friends and my family members that were there. But the hardest thing or the challenge of growing up in South Carolina is it's the Confederate state,
mm-hmm.
you know, so being black in a system in which you are not, you're not taught to thrive or taught to fly, you know.
Yeah.
It was a very big of a challenge. So that was something I had to deal with growing up a lot. The injustice and racism that goes on in the Confederate state. So it was a little tough, but other than that, I loved it. It's beautiful.
I've never been to the... Actually, I'm lying. I've been to Raleigh, North Carolina one time.
Raleigh.
But I haven't spent much time in the Carolinas. But it's interesting because I think the South is very heavy in the Confederate flag type of states and some of the challenges that people may face when dealing or living in those states. So I commend you for like being able to stay positive and I guess become the image you are becoming, or you know, the person you are becoming, you know, regardless of the image, you know, because I know facing challenges makes it hard, but it also kind of makes you mm-hmm. the person you are today.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. That's awesome. So Juilliard, I've heard of this school. I'm imagining that it's a theater school or an art school. I should have Googled. So what is Juilliard? Like, what was that experience like for you?
It was amazing. It was 4 years. It's a conservatory arts school. And you go specifically either for dance, for theater, or for some type of music. Sorry. and I went specifically for theater for 4 years. And it was the best opportunity of my life. I was able to get every opportunity that I needed to thrive in the field that I'm in now.
Okay.
If it wasn't for Juilliard, I definitely wouldn't. I would have had much more of a challenge trying to get into this industry.
Okay, that's cool. So Juilliard taught you to study theater. So like plays, like is it drastically mm-hmm. different than film theater?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But you still felt like theater prepared you for film mm-hmm. and television.
I think it's easier for a stage actor to go into film and TV than it is for a film and TV actor to go into stage.
Mm.
It's like playing, you know. Stage is tennis, theater is tennis, TV and film is like playing ping pong, you know.
Okay.
It's tighter, smaller, but yeah. it's the intention is still there, the movements are still there, it's still fast paced, but the theater is just on a bigger scale. So I think a person can go from playing ping pong. I mean, someone can go from playing tennis to ping pong much more easier than playing from ping pong to tennis. And that's the difference, really.
I get it. I like that analogy. It's an analogy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I used that word. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So, you know, what are some of your favorite roles you played in theater in college?
Some of the favorite roles I played was Belize in Angels in America. And also, I think his name is Leon.
Okay.
And by the way, meet Vera Starks. But those are the plays when I was in my fourth year. I was like, oh snap, mm-hmm. these are the ones where I'm able to show myself and shine on stage.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's cool. You know, I've only seen a couple of plays, to be fair. One I think is, and I can you even classify a musical as a play? Are they in two different categories?
Okay.
I've seen Cats back in the day, you know.
Okay. Cats is dope.
It's like a classic, right?
Cats is dope.
And then Wicked.
Wicked, I haven't seen Wicked.
Wicked was beautifully done. Yeah. But I was very young when I saw it, and I don't want to take away the art. But I know as a kid, seeing the theatrics made it really exciting, so I would love to see it in my more mature, older days and see, mm-hmm. You know, how I feel about it. But that's awesome. That's awesome. Okay. So you are currently living now in New York? Are you in L.A.? What is your...
New York.
You're living in New York right now. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. And how are you in New York?
Love it. I love it. I lived out in L.A. for a year, and I thought L.A. was absolutely beautiful. I would move back to L.A., but New York, from what I'm doing right now, is the exact spot where I need to be.
No, New York has everything, you know, as I come here more often and I experience different people, different pockets, different cities in New York, you know, you realize that there's so much to do and so much to learn, so much mm-hmm. to experience. And, you know, New York's a great place for that, really great place. I can't talk this morning. Jeez. It's probably because I'm really tired. I had an insane night. But all right. Awesome. So tell me about God Friended Me. What is that about? What does the show consist of? What is your character on that show?
So God Friended Me is about a young atheist named Miles Finer who gets friended by God on Facebook, and he becomes a subject of change in his community. And I play Miles the Atheist, which has been a very interesting correlation between my own life. My mom is a minister, and so to have a role in which I have to completely go 180 from what I've grown up teaching and believing, was a challenge, but at the same time it's been very fun because I get to unlock and see a different side of myself. I love everyone in the cast. Everyone is absolutely brilliant, and we just got picked up for second season, so
congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting.
Appreciate it.
So it's interesting, you know, you mentioned earlier and just now that your mom's in the ministry, and then you had to play an atheist. So how as an actor did you prepare to play something so opposite to your lifestyle?
Reading certain types of books, a lot of books about atheism and what it means to be atheist versus agnostic and versus Christian and versus Muslim, you know. They're very specific in their own rights. But I think the way in for me was just research. I feel like now in second season, what I want to do is really get into the community now, to sit down and talk to atheists and sit down and talk to people who are agnostic more than what I've been doing, and actually do something like this, which is communicating with a dialogue of how did you come about this? Mm-hmm. You know, what inspired you to do it or made you want to? That was my way in. Yeah.
That's interesting. No, I like that. I think that knowledge is power. You know, I'm really big on learning. I'm really big on education. So it's cool that you kind of went out and sought information that would help you be a better character. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, a lot of actors, or I would imagine a lot of actors do similar things. If you have to play, you know, an alcoholic or a drunk or a drug addict, you know, you try to really understand what that lifestyle is like to make you better at the character. So it's really cool to hear that that theory that I had really validated. And you said there's a difference between atheist and agnostic?
Agnostic.
Okay. What is the difference?
Well, atheists don't believe in anything.
Okay.
They believe in science. They believe in what is happening now. They believe in reality. They don't believe in an afterlife or what happens when you die, or that, you know, there is someone bigger than us. An agnostic believes that there is something bigger than us, but we don't need to define it as God or Christ or Allah or Buddha. We don't have to define it.
Got it.
it's a little bit more of playing both sides, you know, and the atheist is just Democrat, one. Republic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the two difference.
And you would define yourself as a Christian? Or, you know, if you don't want to talk about that.
I define myself as a believer of truth.
Okay. I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it. That's awesome. How did your mom feel about you playing a character?
At first, she was like, absolutely.
No, she wasn't digging
and
it.
She got on board because now we're both in a place where we're questioning our faith, which I think is very good. I think everyone should. So now it's gotten to the point where she actually, and after she saw the show, and you know, she's gotten to the place where she's a little bit more receptive.
Okay.
Yeah.
You just said that you and your mom are at a place where you're questioning your faith.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean exactly?
What that means is that you're gotten to a place where you're not taking everything at face value. You got into a place where you're not allowing the industry or the structure of the church to influence what you perceive to be true. And so all of the questions and contradictions that you find within the Bible, you actually bring them to the forefront. You ask, well, hey, is this what I really believe, or was this something that was thrust upon me? And it's interesting because not a lot of people are willing to have that dialogue or have those type of conversations. It's nice when you can actually do it with your family.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Especially, you know, I don't want to make this very not that there's anything wrong with being religious or spiritual. I just know that I have some people that have different views, and I would hate for it to be, I guess, biased. But thank you for sharing that. I love the idea of being able to express yourself or express what you're experiencing or concerned with or expressing your growth with your parents. I think that, you know, I think that's phenomenal, and I'm happy that you have your mother there to kind of really be, it sounds like an outlet or, you know, someone to bounce just what you're feeling off of. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
You and your mom must be very close.
Yeah.
It's like your best friend.
I want to say my best friend, but yeah, she's my bestie.
There's like those people that are like, my mom's my best friend.
My mom's my mom.
Okay, my mom's my mom. All right, I dig it. I dig it. So I want to dive into a couple of like acting questions.
Please.
So I think, and I don't know, but I could just imagine like as someone who is wanting to be an actor, how do you memorize lines? Like how is that for you?
22 times.
22 times.
Through everything, 22 times.
Okay, so read it thoroughly 22 times.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you already talked about how you try to embody the character, and that's through doing research.
Yes, and that helps a lot, too.
Okay.
But yes, 22 times. There's a theory that if you do something 22 times without messing up, that it becomes ingrained and embedded into your brain. So that's what I do. As soon as I mess up, I have to start back at number one.
That's a lot of times.
Whatchamacallit it's slipping me. I was going to say there is one actor who reads his scripts 230 times.
Really?
Yeah. And I think that's a good way of learning because everything just becomes natural. You're literally putting yourself in the position of those characters because your imagination is submerged in it so much.
Yeah.
I can't remember his name. That's just slipping me.
No, I mean, that's a lot. It's like repetition, I guess. You know, it's like repeating anything helps you learn better, I guess. Some people learn better that way. Other people learn differently. You know, it's interesting because I was told that some acting teachers, acting coaches don't believe in doing something the same way when you're acting. And so when you're reading a script 22 times, are you reading it the same 22 times, or are you doing it differently?
Doing everything differently every time. Each time I'll pick something specific to work on. So one time I'll pick on, you know, I want to play with actions, or this time I want to play with just like literally understanding the meaning of the line. Okay, I'm on my 10th try. Well, this time I'm going to like walk around and sing it, you know, trying as many different things to get bold choices, because that's really what directors are asking for when you get on set.
Mm-hmm.
They just want you to do a bold choice, you know.
Bold choice.
At least have like three, you know, just have like three bold choices where it's like pull, boom,
yeah.
Cut, you're good to go. But it's the actors that don't have bold choices. It's harder because it's unspecific, you know. Specificity is the key on stage.
All right. No, I mean, that definitely makes sense. I hear a lot that acting is about choices.
Yes.
You know, and so it's cool to hear you, again, validate some of the things that I've heard. Have you ever bombed in an audition for acting?
Absolutely.
Yeah, what was that like?
It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible. The audition went, I walked into the room, and I had already, like, gotten the wrong sides. It was a callback.
Mm.
I got the wrong sides, so I walk in, and, like, I'd ask my agent if they can contact the casting director to be like, hey, he's going to come in and do the sides from the initial callback. So just, you know, be aware. Anyways, my agents wind up sending me the wrong sides.
Mm.
So I'm rehearsing, rehearsing. And then they call me to go into the audition. And I know I had it down. Like, I know I had it down. But me and auditioning is just not the best thing in the world. So I walk into the room, shake everybody's hands. And I go and I stand in the middle. And they're like, okay, we'll present your piece. I'm like, yeah, thanks. And I take my time. And as soon as I'm about to start, I forget the first word.
Mm.
And I'm like, okay. Excuse me. Let me try again, y'all. Okay. Open my mouth. And I forget the next one. And I'm like, I just rehearsed this. Third time's a charm.
Mm-hmm.
They were like, do you want sides? Do you want your sides? No. Fine. Fine. I don't want any sides. Open my mouth on the third try. Nope. Didn't get anything. So I wound up having to end the audition there. Didn't even get to finish the audition. And it was a callback, too. It was going to be a dope play.
Why didn't you just take the sides?
Stubborn. Being stubborn. When you're working on a show for so long, and the main thing about the show is be off book. You know, the last thing that you want is a pair of sides in your person. You know, because you're so used to not having it. So, that's why. Stubborn.
So, God Friended Me is off book?
Yeah, you have to be.
Okay.
Yeah, you got to be fully memorized.
So, like, improv. No off-book.
No improv.
No improv. So, off-book means know the script entirely.
Yes, we're perfect.
Got it. I don't know why I was saying an off-book. It meant, okay. Like, just kind of freestyle. My apologies. Yeah, that sucks. You know, your ego really got to you that day.
Yeah, my ego got to me hard.
Okay.
But it's okay. You know, it's interesting. Every time that you... No matter, I believe, no matter what position you get into, especially in this industry, when you go in for an audition, you're always back at zero. You know, you got to show up and show out every time.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with practice and learning, but audition is a different beast.
Yeah.
Within itself.
Do you think people should take classes on just auditioning?
That's a good question.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I do. Because the moment you stop, and you stop for like 3, 4, 5 months, and then you get back into it,
mm-hmm.
you lose it. It's a muscle. It's a muscle to be that comfortable doing 3, 4 different sides in one day, trying to, you know, you're taking on 4 different characters in a day. That's a lot. To change on the dime and still be 100% as if you're shooting. I mean, you're basically shooting 4 different things in one day.
Okay.
You know. So, yeah, I definitely think people should take classes. I think it would be really beneficial.
Would you go back in time and tell yourself, you know, like, listen, take the sides? Like, or do you stand by your decision you made that day?
Nah, bro, take the sides.
Save your reputation. Sometimes you got to swallow that pride, man.
Sometimes you got to swallow your pride.
That's cool. I was having a conversation recently about greatest actors of all time, blah, blah, blah. You know, I feel like everybody's opinion is so biased. It's like, who's better, Prince or Michael Jackson? You know, people have strong opinions. Don't look like that, because you obviously have an opinion. And
not saying anything.
Okay, going. You know, just to humor this conversation real quick, who do you think is better, Prince or Michael Jackson?
Michael got more hits.
That's what I'm saying. All right, my guy.
Yeah, Michael got more hits.
All right, cool. Now we're done with that. So, You know, it's crazy because I don't watch too many movies or shows. I really just watch a lot of cartoons. And so when people talk about actors or names of actors and roles and awards, I have no idea what many people have done. And that's very, you know, ignorant of me. And I definitely plan on, you know, increasing that. But a lot of people believe that Meryl Streep is like the greatest actress of all time. Like, I hear this so often, all the time, you know, and I want to get your opinion. I don't know if you have an opinion. Or if you think there's an actress that stands out to you more than Meryl Streep, you know, or an actor, you know, who do you think?
Oh, yeah, man, there's okay. a lot. Yeah, there's a lot.
All right. I mean,
Meryl Streep is an amazing actress. She has the goal to prove it.
Uh-huh.
And also she has all the movies that she's done to prove it.
Mm-hmm.
Viola Davis is an amazing actor.
I agree.
I think Gabrielle Union is an amazing actor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we can even look further now, like Issa Rae. I think it's all about preference and what you deem, you know, satisfying when mm-hmm. it comes to art. So I definitely want to be in that category at some point in my career.
You probably will.
At some point. I believe it. Thank you. Appreciate
You're welcome. It. No problem.
How's that? Just take my sides.
just take
the sides. But yeah, I think and everyone has a different technique, so you can learn from all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Meryl Streep is a great actress, but there are tons, tons, tons of actresses and actors out there who can tell a story just as good. You know, it's just, I think it's opportunity.
I agree. You know, I've seen Meryl Streep act, and I think The Devil Wears Prada. Mm. Is that one of her movies, right?
Mm.
I see I'm bad at a movie name. Is that wrong? Okay. I'll Google it next time. But you know, I recently seen her on Big Little Lies. Did mm-hmm. you see that? You watch that show sometimes?
Mm-hmm.
I've seen her on that.
TV.
Yeah, you know, and I agree that she performs well, but so does, you know, in my opinion, every actress on that particular show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's interesting that some people feel that there's a strength in one particular actress in the cast that the others don't have. But you know, like you said, I think it's about who matches your flavor, like who matches your
mm-hmm.
like your vibe and what you are trying to like connect with. So that makes sense. Do you think that people are born like naturally good actors, like without any training, without any school?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Every emotion and everything that you want to use when you're acting, you've obtained by the age of 5. You know, it's really all about going back into I like to think of it as a house, right? And a house starts building when you're born.
Mm-hmm.
And you build a structure and you build, you know, this, that, and the third while you're being born. And then as you get older, you add things to the house and you take away. You know, you put a vase here, you put a new rug here. And you're like, oh, actually, well, I'm going to take the rug out and sell it and do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
But the base of it is always there, you know. So acting is always about getting back to the basics, you know.
Okay.
What do I want? What do I need? How do I get what I want?
Mm-hmm.
What do I do to get what I want?
Mm-hmm.
And so, the process is the same, but for everyone, I think, who's trying to act or who is acting, the basis is to get back to the natural qualities of what being a human being is.
Okay.
Because that's what we want to see on stage.
I agree.
And on film.
I agree. You know, I think that, you know, when new actors, actresses, is the term actress still a thing? I was told that we don't use that term anymore because of gender neutral terms and things like that.
Okay.
Well, people who act, individuals who act.
They actors.
You know, I was told that some people believe like, oh, you know, I'm just a natural actor and I can cry on cue and, you know, things like that. And so
some people don't need training.
Okay.
Training is just technique.
Okay.
Going to school is just being able to have the tools that when your natural talents aren't cutting it, or when someone is asking you, hey, we want to do something different, you can always just go back into your bag of what you was doing in school,
mm-hmm.
or one of the techniques that you learned in school. Use that, and you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
That's the difference, you know. But raw talent will, I mean.
There's raw talent out there. Okay.
Yeah, but you want to hold on to it. And being trained can hinder that. It definitely can.
Mm. That's good to hear. You know, a lot of people put, like, emphasis, especially acting coaches, acting teachers, people who train actors, actresses, people who act, a very, like, you need to be in classes all year round, all year round, every day. You know, like, some people, some agencies won't even take you unless you've been in acting classes for a certain amount of rotations. No,
I think the best acting class is life, I think, personal experience. Okay. Because that's what you're portraying, is all the personal, intimate moments in life. So, that's why I think, it's good to take the classes. Take the classes, you know, enjoy it, but don't think that just because you're taking a class is going to make you a better actor. No, it's going to be, it's going to make you a better craftsman.
Okay.
You know, if you're an actor, you're an actor. It's like being a musician. You know, if you're a musician, you got it. You know, some people just cannot play the piano. Some people just cannot play the guitar. There's some people who can. And then there are some people who take guitar very seriously and they take classes.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone was like, we want you to play classical, got you. Someone wants you to play rock, I got you. That's just not bred out of natural talent. That's just having a wealth of mind and wanting to learn more.
That's great. I think that's the highlight so far of this podcast. Not that what you said before is not important, but I think
all that I've said so far is not important.
But especially that, I think what you just said, a lot of people will take and kind of run with it, because it gives people hope. Sometimes classes can be expensive and people can't afford it, but they have a goal and they feel like, you know, if I can't afford this, you know, I won't ever practice this, ergo I won't ever be good. But if you like you said, it's life. You know, I've heard the term that acting is reacting. And so you just naturally, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're just responding naturally to whatever is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's life. Like, that's what you do in your everyday. But I think, like you said, it's about technique and what the specific casting director is looking for and being able to adjust.
Right.
I think is key in that. Look at you. That's good insight. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You know, another topic I've talked about with a couple of people are how social media has really impacted, like, the acting or entertainment industry overall. You know, I'm starting to see a lot of, which prior to maybe 2 years ago, this wasn't a thing, maybe 3 years ago, but skit acting. And I think that's those little short videos that you put on Instagram that are maybe funny or, you know, whatever. They have dramatic sounds and things like that. You know, and I've been told that a lot of skit actors on social media who have gained a following have been able to now access actual acting roles for TV and film. And so, you know, these people, per what I have seen, you know, don't always take classes or training. So what are your thoughts on skit actors?
I like this term, skit actors. I've never heard skit actors. I like it. My take, look, I think number one, if you got to eat, do what you got to do to eat. Everybody deserves a job. And there's enough stories and enough positions at the table, and especially in this industry, for everyone to get work. So, and, you know, it's very creative. And I know that doing those videos and stuff is a challenge. It's hard. But I will also say, before that, Andy Warhol said that everyone's going to have their 15 minutes of fame. We have that. You know, you can be famous so easy now. And I think the definition of fame and what fame is changing rapidly because of social media and these and skit actors and like that. But there are definitely some of those actors who have been booking work. Reason being is because, you know, Kevin Hart has the same amount of followers that a network television show would have. So why am I going to go to a network television station with my product if everyone's already following me? I can build my own brand now because I have the audience that they have. And so he's making his 24-hour comedy show. You know, the opportunities are out there and they're vast. But once again, I think there is something to be said for someone who takes the time out to learn about the craft and learn more about this art. It just means much more to me.
Yeah.
So,
you know, I was speaking to Haley, who I'm actually going to meet up with later today. She's a Playboy model based in the UK. And she actually, you know, told me she never intended to be a model. In fact, we met and that was her first time modeling back in, like, I think Florida or something. And she was talking about how you need to respect the craft. You know, she's always wanted to be an actress, and that was her purpose of gaining a following on social media, so that she can use that platform to get into acting, because she had been taking classes and such. You know, and she was like, she doesn't understand how some, I guess, quote unquote, Instagram models can call themselves an actress without respecting the craft of understanding, you know, acting, understanding, you know, some of the techniques, you know, but it's kind of like conflicting with what you said when they are natural actors. But I want to just summarize that and just say that, you know, it's interesting that, but both of you guys made the point of you need to respect the craft of acting and understand that it takes time, it takes effort, and it does take work. And so I think that it's really good to hear that, you know, from two people on kind of opposite sides, but trying to be on both sides of the entertainment industry. And so, yeah, you know, I think that it takes effort, it takes work. I think reading books, understanding characters, I think a lot of that, even watching good actresses and actors on TV, I think it's a good way to learn, you know, how to really perfect your skills if that's something you're trying to do. So just a tip from a non-actor, might be something.
She's an actor.
I wish I was an actor. I don't know, it's tough. People got to memorize all these lines. It's hard out here in these streets to get it together.
Well, I have dyslexia, so it's very hard.
You know, yeah,
but you work through it. A lot of great actors do. You'd be surprised. And I think it's just because we're creative, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And dyslexia or ADHD, it's just terms to define something.
Yeah.
But what it basically means is that you're creative, and you just learn differently. Mm-hmm. And it took me years to find my process. I'm still finding it. I haven't perfected it. I don't really want to. It's just the funness of the game. It keeps it bubbly.
No, but I think that's awesome. It's nothing wrong with having to learn differently. It's nothing wrong with having a different learning technique than the mass or than a majority. You know, it's cool to be individual, and don't feel, you know, bad or odd or uncomfortable if you have something that kind of makes something a challenge. You know, just capitalize on it and use that to really perfect who you are and who you're trying to be as an actor or as whoever you're trying to be in the world. You know, it's not a defect. What did Kanye say one day about his he said it's not a disability, it's a superpower.
Mm-hmm. It's your superpower.
Kanye's character.
Yeah.
But yeah.
See, Jaden Smith is gonna play him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Kanye cast him in this new series that he's doing, and he's playing Jaden Smith is playing a young Kanye.
Wow. Well, yeah. That's going to be interesting. Yeah, Jaden's, you know, I've seen him act, I think, just one time in that one movie, right, as a kid? That Karate Kid movie?
Karate Kid.
And then he, like, bounced into rapping out of nowhere?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Oh, my God, yo. That track, what was that? Oh, no, yeah, I forgot the Pursuit of Happiness. Oh, yeah.
Icon was a great album.
Yes. But, you know, it's unfortunate that only one of his songs kind of went to the mainstream here in America. I'm pretty sure overseas it went more epic, but... Yeah, cool. So I think one of my last questions before I dive into my other last questions, because you can only really have one last question, right? Is what advice would you give to actors or actresses or people that act or, you know, that want to become actresses? I feel like I'm wording this wrong. Advice would you give to aspiring people who want to act? Wait, am I done? Okay, go ahead. I'll start with that. You want me to finish?
Mm-hmm.
If they can't find representation but still want to be an actor or an actress?
Oh, make your own work.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep hustling. Keep doing the job that you're doing, but make your own work. Just, there's so much opportunity with having a phone in your hand that shoots in 4K. I mean.
Yeah. Shoot your own work.
Just do your own work.
Okay.
Don't wait for someone else to give you the job at this point in social media and in this industry. Just don't wait. It's not worth it. You'll waste time. I mean, look at you. You know, you're doing your podcast as an art form. You're not waiting for someone to give you a podcast.
Facts.
You have a computer. You have a mic. You have your phones. You have everything you need. You can do it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same way with acting. You know, you want something. You just have to do it yourself. And it doesn't have to be pricey. You can shoot something low budget, and someone can get their eyes on it. And, you know, who knows next? Mm-hmm. You could be sitting in a casting agent, you know, across from a casting agent.
Yeah.
So I would say make your own work.
Make your own work. All right. Again, for those who are having, especially in Atlanta, because I live in Atlanta, and, you know, everybody's an actor or an actress in Atlanta. But for those who are having a hard time getting signed, you know, Brandon said create your own work. You know, get a team together. Create some art. You know, you have an idea of the kind of work you want to produce. Try to produce it yourself and see, you know, what outcome you get. I don't know if you saw, but there was a Fresh Prince remake. Do you know? Oh, my God. Epic. Like, literally epic. And I was just so touched, you know, by the emotion in that, what is it called? It's like a short, I guess, short film, whatever. Mm-hmm.
Short film.
Yeah. I was just really, like, touched by the energy and the acting and the connections and the power, you know, within that. And so, you know, just like that particular director or, you know, whomever put that together, you know, they had a vision. And it was a remake, but it was still so much different than the original. You know, if there's something you want to do and you're not, you know, able to get it done the way you want to get it done or through a casting director or through an agency is more of what I'm talking about, definitely feel free to get a team together and create something, like, dope. You know, even in the modeling industry, I know that if I do mock ads, I'm really likely to be seen by that particular brand and maybe hired by that brand, you know, if I do a mock ad that is really good. You know, so sometimes you don't always have to wait for something. You can create your own opportunity because life is full of opportunity. Mm-hmm. All right. So I usually end my podcast guest questions with two questions. Okay. One being a mental health question, because I do have a master's in marriage, couple, family counseling. I like to throw that out there every time on my podcast because it's important for people to know that I do model, but at the same time, I value education. I value mental health. I value feelings. I value, like, you know, your interpretation of things. I value all of that. And so, you know, I like to end the podcast with two questions. One, with the mental health question, I would like to ask, you know, throughout this journey to become an actor, you know, who has been your support systems and, you know, your backbone and the person or people you come to when you're feeling low to kind of keep you motivated and supported.
And just answer the first one first?
Yeah. I don't know. Just I did ask a lot of questions just then.
No, I'm saying.
Answer that one first.
Just answer that. Okay. No, my family, I mean, you know, it's not even a cliche thing. It's just the truth of the matter. My mom is that superwoman, you know, she takes care of so much and that's why she deserves so much. And my sister, you know, my sister is my ace. She's the truth of, or that beam of honesty, that's always kept me balanced and kept me, moving forward. I also like to keep inspiring friends around me, people who are doing creative things mm-hmm. and out here killing the game. You already know. And also the books I read, you know, are my friends. I feel like they teach me a lot. Okay. They open up different worlds and different opportunities and different perspectives on things. So the books that I read and the characters that have taken me along their journey have been very, very helpful.
I love that answer. You know, for more than one reason. I think you kind of covered a good foundation of all type of support. You know, some people have families, some people don't. You know, some people's families, they don't support what they're trying to do. You know, and you have a family that supports you, which is awesome. I do as well. You know, but for those who don't have family, you know, you have friends, and friends can be a great support system if you have the right type of friends around mm-hmm. you. But, you know, you even said, you know, for you use books as well. For people who have, like, social, you know, issues or challenges making good friends or, you know, making social connections, you actually said you use books, and that is also your support system through the characters, you know, and through the stories that you read. And so I think that's amazing. Like, I love the fact that you're able to capitalize on three different types of support. And, you know, I think I want to start diving more into character support from books. I think that would really, you know, make me feel or grow my mental space, help me feel more leveled, you know, if I'm not depending on a person or an expectation, but really something that's very concrete. But I like the idea of using books as a support system for those people who don't have family and for the people that, you know, have challenges, you know, making friends. All right, that's my mental health question. And I feel like I asked an industry question, but I feel like we've asked so many industry questions.
Up to you. I'm down to answer.
Let me see, do I have any other things to ask? I feel like I asked a lot of questions that a lot of people probably would have wanted me to ask.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What draws you to create?
What draws me to create? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that growing up, I was very, like, sheltered, you know? I grew up in Chicago, and the neighborhood we lived in wasn't the best neighborhood. And so to keep me from getting in trouble or to keep me from getting pregnant or in a situation I really shouldn't have been in, I had to stay at home a lot, and I was able to draw. I was able to write poetry. I was able to sing on the porch watching the other kids mm-hmm. play, you know. And so I think that being creative for me was the only way I could express who I wanted to be in the world, because I really couldn't be that person until I broke free. And I broke free. I wasn't in jail or anything. And ultimately, it was for my best interest. But, you know, I think self-expression is my reason for creating, because for a while, you know, I wasn't able to express myself. I think that's a great question. People never really ask me questions. I'm usually throwing all the questions out there.
I had other ones, but never mind.
Give me one more question.
One more question. Uh-huh. Was now the pressure's on. If I have more. Dun, dun, dun. In 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. You're what, 24? Ugh. 23?
Can we just, sure. I'm 26.
Oh, we're the same age. Mm. So in 10 years, you'll be 36. Uh-huh. What do you want to have had accomplished by then?
Okay. Mm. You know, first of all, thank you for the question, because usually when people ask that question, they say, where do you see yourself in 10 years?
Now, what do you want to accomplish?
Within that 10 years. At 36, what do I see myself having accomplished? Beautiful question. By 36, I would have hopefully had, or I will have, a very successful podcast, you know, where I talk to different people in the industry, understand their stories and their challenges, and let that be a resource for people out there who don't know where to go for this type of information. You know, you can't really Google this kind of thing. And if you do, you get a very generic answer. I see myself by 36 having landed maybe 2 or 3, maybe 4 larger campaigns that help me grow my name as a model. I would love that. And then by 36, I would love to have landed like a small acting role in some like Netflix series. You know, just something chill. And I want to do more for my grandma. By 36, I want to have done something amazing for her that allows her to kind of experience life a little bit more at her age. And I think I'm supposed to say children.
You don't have to say anything like that.
I think at 36, people expect me to have children. I don't see that, you know, but if it happens, it happens. But by 36, you know, I definitely expect to have made definitely an impact on the world and understand my happiness fully. And what makes me happy by 36, because I think it's a never-ending journey. And I think that in your 20s, you think that you have an idea of what is going to make you happy, especially as a teen. You know, you have these ideas of what 20s are supposed to be like, and you're just trying to find happiness all this time. And you get to your 20s, and you're like, this is still a challenge and a journey for me. And I think by 36, I definitely want to have it wrapped up in what is my happiness, if that's not too, you know, preachy. Uh-uh. Not preachy, I don't like that word. If that's not too...
It's not.
Wordy. It's not. I appreciate that. All right. Well, I think it was more than amazing having you on this podcast.
Appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, no problem. You know, traveled all the way to New York.
Already.
You know, to get this done. So very appreciative of it. Are there any last things that you want to say to, you know, to the listeners, to the people, prospective actors, actresses? You know, any last final pieces of advice you want to throw out there before
I think that you are a big inspiration to the art community, because you're one of the people, one of the few people who are out there creating your own opportunities. So I would say for your listeners to really take heed to the fact that you are setting an example. And that example is very clear, that you're taking the steps in the right directions to have those things accomplished in the next 10 years. So that would be my thing. You know, I think a lot of the time we want to look up and look out for people who want to inspire us, but sometimes it's the person that's sitting right next to us that's going to grow and develop with us over the course of our lives. So I think that what you're doing is very inspiring, and I applaud you for doing it. So for everyone who's listening to this podcast, I think that really take heed. She's setting a big, big example. It's not easy, but the fact that you're doing it means a lot. So that's what I would say.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I try to do good, be good, feel good. You know, I
You're
think
good.
That. I just want to be good.
It's just your headphones on the wrong side.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Of course. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
For being on this podcast today. And I more than appreciate your time. And I hope it was not too much of a challenge talking about everything we talked about today.
I love doing this stuff. So yeah. I'm chill.
Perfect. Well, best of luck on your show, God Friended Me, in the second season. I'm sure you'll do phenomenal. And for your other projects, when you're able to disclose them to the world, congratulations.
Thank you.
And hope to see you winning Oscars and Grammys.
Already.
In the future. I think Grammys and Oscars are factors, right?
I can take all of them. I want the God.
All right, awesome. Thank you so much for everything.
Appreciate it.
This is the Model Counselor Podcast. I am your host, Aubrey Ebony, and thank you for listening.